Early this year, Libya's strongman Muammar Gaddafi was quoted in the press as saying, and I quote, "All my people with me, they love me. They would die to protect me, my people." Well, here we see the delusion of a man in absolute power for a very long time, more than 40 years, believing in his invincibility. But now, his own people have all but booted him out. It must be a very bitter pill to swallow. In his old age, he is facing the specter of rejection by his own people, and perhaps, in fact, I hope, even a trial. In the waning years of his life, this once absolute dictator is a humiliated man, and he will probably die in ignominy. Now, he is not the first, of course, and definitely he will not be the last. He will join the names such as Saddam of Iraq, Ceausescu of Romania, Marcos of the Philippines. Strong men who thought they will stay in power for too long and only to be booted out. We all know that saying, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In other words, we are saying no man is meant to be Lord. While we respect rulers, legitimate rule, rule of men is not the rule of one who is Lord. There is only one who deserves to be Lord of all mankind. And while the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a claim that he extends to all mankind, at the present, only believers acknowledge that Lordship. Mga mananampalataya lamang ang kumikilala na ang Panginoong Hesukristo ay siyang Panginoon dapat ng lahat, at dahil nakita natin yan sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli, ito ang ikinabubukod ng mga mananampalataya. Sila ang kumikilala kay Jesus na siya'y Panginoon. Believers are those who acknowledge Jesus to be the rightful Lord of this world. And the reason why we do that is because we accept the claim of His death and of His resurrection. That cross was not a defeat, as however it appears to many today. The cross was a triumph, and we know it from the fact of the resurrection. I stress the fact of the resurrection because we believe that to be a historical fact that sweepingly defends the claim and cause of Christianity. And one chapter of the New Testament stands out in its argument for the doctrine and fact of the resurrection, and that is 1 Corinthians 15. Ito ang pinag-aaralan nating kabanata sa ating serye ngayon. The reason why Apostle Paul had to face this issue of the resurrection is because of the influence of some Greek philosophy in Corinth, and this Greek philosophy held that the body is inherently evil, so that when a person dies, that person gets rid of his body, and that is quite well. And so to them, they see no point in the resurrection of the saints. And Apostle Paul would have none of that. Hindi tatanggapin ni Pablo na wala nang pagkabuhay para sa mga namatay kay Kristo. At ang nakasalalay dito, kanyang piniliwanag sa pinakaumpisa ng 1 Corinthians 15, ang nakasalalay dito ay walang iba kundi ang Ebanghelyo. What is at stake is nothing less than the gospel, because part of the gospel, as he explained, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is something which is, to us, a fact of history. Hindi ito isang bagay na kuro-kuro, filosofiya, ideya. Ito ay pangyayari na naganap sa kasaysayan. And it becomes part of the gospel. You are not a true believer in the gospel unless you believe in the risen Christ. And risen not in a symbolic or philosophical sense, but risen in a factual, physical sense. Yan ang tinatanggap nating pagtuturo tungkol sa pagkabuhay ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. And what Apostle Paul does is to line up, so to speak, eyewitnesses to that resurrection. This is not the opinion of one man. Rather, he lines up eyewitnesses, the apostles in particular, and at one point, he even manages to point to more than 500 brethren who at one time saw the Lord Jesus alive. And then last of all, himself, Paul, was called to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody might say, well, it's all right if you believe in the resurrection, but it's all right too if some people would not believe in the resurrection. In fact, if the resurrection proves not to be true, it's all right for Christians because they live a good life anyway, and we will not accept that. That so-called Pascal's wager, that bet on God, because whether God exists or not, you're the winner. If God does not exist, you live a good life anyway. And if God exists, besides living a good life, you also save your souls. And I said last week, that's not acceptable. For Paul said, if the resurrection is not true, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. So wag natin itulad to sa pagtaya sa loto, kung walang jackpot, may consolation prize. Walang ganun sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano. Totoo ito, at kung hindi totoo, kawawa tayo. Miserable yung ating kalagayan bilang mga mananampalataya. At sabi nga ni Pablo, kung walang tunay na pagkabuhay, kumain na lang tayo at magpakasaya. Let us eat and be merry. That's the implication. But the implication of the facts of the resurrection is sweeping. Then only the Christian claim is true. It is exclusive. You give your life to Christ or you are lost. So the Christian hope stands or falls on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now continuing, I invite you now for you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll now read verses 20 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. So here is then what Paul draws as a conclusion, or not as a conclusion, but as the proposition that follows from the facts of the resurrection, kung totoo ang pagkabuhay ni Jesus. Since the Christian faith does not stand on mere opinion, it stands on facts, then it is exclusive. Paul now boldly divides humanity under two categories, with one head above each category. When we think of all humanity, we may think of various divisions and categories, but to the Apostle Paul, in these verses, he divides them only under two categories. One category is where all men belong under the headship of Adam, while the other category is that which belongs to Christ. And here is my message. All humans are subject to death, but those who are Christ's are promised the resurrection life. Kaya kung susumahin natin o hahatiin natin ang sangkatauhan sa dalawang hanay lamang, ito ang nakikita ni Pablo. Maraming mga pagkakaiba-iba ang mga tao sa mundo, subalit kung titingnan natin at hahatiin natin sa kanilang hinaharap na pangwalang hanggan, dalawang klase lamang. Sa kongregasyon na ito, dalawang klase lamang. There are only two kinds. Those who belong to Adam, and that being the case, they are subject to death. And those who belong to Christ, and that being the case, they are promised life. Now, when we think of two categories in humanity, we probably would think of male and female. There's no third category, whatever others insist. But here is another way of dividing humanity with only two categories. You belong to Adam, or you belong to Christ. On the plane of spiritual status, Paul divides mankind into two classes, and what determines the class is not gender, not race, not education, not personality, but representation. Each category has a representation. So, neatly dividing this, there are two things we can say concerning this division. First of all in Adam are subject to death. All in Adam are subject to death. Lahat ng nakay Adan ay nasasakop ng kamatayan. And then secondly, all in Christ are promised His life. Lahat ng nakay Kristo ay pinangakuan ng kanyang buhay. Sa lahat ng sangkatauhan, ito lang ang dalawang masasabi natin. Either you belong to Adam and therefore subject to death, or you belong to Christ and are promised His life. So first of all then, let's consider all in Adam are subject to death. Paul says, by a man came death. He introduces both classes, by a man. By a man came death, by a man came the resurrection. And to be without any ambiguity, Paul names these two representations of the classes. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. No, gusto ko lang ipaliwanag, yung pagkakapareho dito is Adam and Christ, not the word all, as Paul will explain. What he is saying here is that Adam and the resulting fall into sin explain the universality of death among mankind. Anong nagpapaliwanag na ang kamatayan ay pangkalahatan? Marami tayong pwedeng ibigay na paliwanag, pero ang binibigay na paliwanag ni Pablo dito ay dahilan sa nangyari kay Adan. Siya yung kumatawan sa sangkatauhan at yung nangyaring pagpalya niya sa pagkahulog niya sa kasalanan, ito ang nagpapasok ng kamatayan dito sa sangkatauhan. Adam and the resulting fall into sin. That explains the universality of death in mankind. Now, assumed here is that we believe in the historic reality of the Adam story in Genesis. I know that among liberals, it is respectable to treat this story as only folklore and legend. Under academic pressure, some Christians tend to be silent about their belief in the story of Adam. Parang nahihiya silang sabihing naniniwala pa rin ako sa storya ng pagkalikha ng anim na araw at naniniwala ako sa salaysay ng Genesis na merong totoong Adam na binigyan ng responsibilidad na kumilos, mamuhay bilang kinatawan ng sangkatauhan. When we are under pressure by those who will tend to insult that kind of belief, we tend to be silent, and we should not. I would rather be on the side of Paul, who made Adam an important piece of his theology. I would rather be on the side of Jesus, who believed in the historic authenticity of Genesis. Take your choice. And it is Paul's doctrine of Adamic representation that gives the most important piece of the puzzle for why humanity is so subject to death. By the doctrine of Adam, it is telling us man had a definite beginning in Adam. And Adam represented mankind in God's test, and he failed. When Adam fell into sin, he dragged with him all his children. And that means all sons and daughters of Adam, that's all humanity. We were dragged with him into sin and into judgment. And that Paul explains is why death has entered the world. Now, the common reaction to that teaching, especially by individualistic-minded people, is to say, why should someone act for me? That's unfair. I would rather act for myself rather than give to Adam the responsibility of what happens to me in my spiritual status. Well, first of all, let me just remind you, the fact of representation is part and parcel of our human life. Nangyayari yung representation sa lahat ng bagay. Parents represent children. They can make a decision for their minor children. Ay, hindi naman siguro gugustuhin ng mga magulang dito na kapag may pasya ka para sa iyong mga anak, ay kinakailangan munang pahintulot nila. There's the principle of representation. There's the principle of representation by government over the state. The government can make representation to international bodies, make decisions, and when they make a decision, they carry with them their nation and the state. Alam niyo bang isang dahilan ng komplikasyon ng problema natin dyan sa mga Muslim ay dahil sa pumirma ang Marcos government ng Tripoli Agreement. At yun ang laging ibinabalik sa atin ng mga Muslim kapag dumating na sa negosasyon. Pumirma kayo, pumirma ang pamahalaan. At nung pumirma siya, dala tayo, hindi tayo pwedeng umangal na si Marcos yon. At that time, he was legitimate representation of the state. So in other words, representation is a fact of humanity. We don't complain when there is legitimate representation. Now, if you insist that you simply want no representation, you just want to stand for yourself, do you know what you really are asking and its consequence? If you are just standing for yourself, when you sin, you're damned forever. There is no hope for you because you stand for yourself. The only hope you and me have for any possibility of salvation is another representation. So if you reject representation and hypothetically God grants you what you want, just stand for yourself, a single sin will damn you forever without any hope. Do you really want that? And that is why the arrangement of God of representation is a most wise arrangement. He gave to one man representation who at that time was sinless, put in an environment that was yet without sin. He was given the best possibility. He was put in the best condition. He was the best representative possible for man. And he failed. He fell into sin. And yet the principle of representation is our only hope as sinners because there is another representative. But you see, because of Adam, we can see why sin is so universal. And because sin is so universal, death is universal. Now, some of you may be thinking in your mind, you're forgetting Enoch and Elijah. No, I'm not forgetting Enoch and Elijah. The cases of Enoch and Elijah only demonstrate God's sovereignty. When God sovereignly decides he will make an exception over his principle, that is something we accept. It doesn't undermine the universality of mankind being subject to death. We die, in other words, not because of our biological constitution. We die because we sin. And we sin because we are in Adam. Adam, who was given the best nature, the best environment to carry mankind through, fell into sin. That was the one chance to be confirmed by God through the merit of works. And he fell into sin. And from then on, there is no possibility of salvation by works. That was the one chance. If Adam did not sin, he will be confirmed by his good works and so with all his descendants. But he missed the chance. And his failure is our failure. His fall is our fall. And since then, no possibility of salvation by works. And if you are still hoping that somehow God will accept you because you're a good man, you're a good woman, you are holding to a failed structure. That was the structure given to Adam. It will no longer apply at any time since Adam's fall. There can be no salvation by works for any man or woman in this world. And my friend, if you're still holding to that, reject it. It will be the loss of your soul. Here is a common denominator of all mankind of whatever variety. They are all sinners in Adam. And they are all dying. And this is something true in all cultures. They try to do something about the approach of death. You're familiar with the seven wonders of the ancient world. Of those seven wonders, only one remains. Still stands the pyramid of Egypt. For a very long time, it was a puzzle to experts what it was for. But when it was studied, analyzed by archaeologists, it now appears that this was an elaborate plan by the pharaohs to prepare for their death. Everything is calculated. And the idea is, if they can find that formula to make them ready for the afterlife. But it's a myth. And from the pyramid to the present time of trying to prepare for death without due address to sin is bound to fail. And this is why Paul's statement here is so uniquely Christian. It is the Christian who has an explanation as to why death is so universal. Because we are in Adam. Adam sinned, and we sin with him. Now, connecting death to sin is something very important. That death is the result of sin makes death evil. And yet, this is the only view that gives us hope to address death. Now, beware of the tendency, and I hear this sometimes from Christians, the tendency to romanticize death, as though death is good because when a Christian dies, he goes to heaven. It's good to go to heaven, but death is evil. Death is treated, as we shall see, as an enemy. Enemy of man, and the last enemy of Christ. Therefore, death is evil. God did not intend for man to die where Adam became obedient to his test, but he was not. And because he sinned, death came. And we sense the evil of death, the sorrow it brings, the pain of separation, especially when life is snuffed out so violently. The evil of death. We rightly fear death. It is right to seek to avoid death. There is a proper ethic to saving life. But because the evil of death is in its association with sin, there lies the hope as well. Many stake their hope in science. There is now the process known as cryopreservation. It is when the body, still alive, is preserved under very cold temperature, in the hope that one day science will discover the pill or the vaccine that will make life longer or perhaps even immortal, we better have a body that they can inject. And that is all false hope. The real hope is this: if death is the result of sin, and sin is the result of Adam, we need someone in the same category of Adam who will address sin that will then address death. The only remedy to death is the remedy to sin. And therefore, not science, but a Savior. Ang remedyo sa kamatayan ay yung makapagremedyo sa kasalanan. At ang makapagremedyo sa kasalanan ay hindi siyensya. Ang makakapagremedyo sa kasalanan ay tagapagligtas. At meron tayo niyan. Meron niyan sa katauhan ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya kung aasa tayo sa siyensya at iba pang magagawa ng tao, ito ay bulaang pag-asa. There is no hope in that. Not in science, not in wealth, not in power. One of the most powerful monarchs in the history of the world was Queen Elizabeth I. Queen Elizabeth I ruled from 1558 to 1603. An absolute monarch. Powerful. But it was said that when he was dying in 1603, on her deathbed, she was quoted as saying as her last words, "All my possessions for one moment of time." Lahat ng aking mga ari-arian, pagbigyan lang ako ng muntipang panahon. And even a monarch of absolute power cannot extend even for one moment his or her time. Not all the possession that she had can extend one moment her time. And so with you, so with us, when death approaches you, You may invoke your goodness. You may invoke your virtues. You may invoke science and wealth and power. None of this will ever extend your time one moment. For death is the result of sin. So all in Adam are subject to death. That brings me to my second point, which is the exact remedy to what Adam has done. All in Christ are promised His life. Lahat ng nakay Kristo ay pinangakuan ng kanyang buhay. And so Paul explains here, each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at His coming, those who belong to Christ. So when will the resurrection be? The first is the resurrection of Christ. And then the next is when Christ comes again, the resurrection of all those who belong to Him. So the truth of Christ's resurrection guarantees His people's future resurrection life. Kaya itong kidinudugtong ni Pablo, kaya hindi niya matanggap itong pagtuturong walang pagkabuhay para sa mga mananampalataya. Idinugtong niya. Tinawag niyang first fruits. Ano yung first fruits? Yun ang unang bahagi ng pag-aani, pero yung bahaging yun ay nagtitiyak sa mga susunod pang bahagi. So the first fruits is already part of the harvest. And what Paul is saying, if Christ indeed rose from the dead, it is surely the case that all those who belong to Him will themselves be raised from the dead. It is the very life of Christ that guarantees it. You see, the resurrection, you must understand, is not simply extending your life. The resurrection is giving you a new life. The life of Christ is what we will have at His coming. Not simply your life on earth extended, your life on earth is terminated. But when Christ comes again, the life we will have is that same life of Christ with which He was raised. What a glorious hope. What an amazing hope. And it is underscoring Paul's point that one is followed by the other. Christ, then His people. Now you might say, even unbelievers are resurrected, aren't they? The answer is yes. But listen to how Jesus describes that kind of resurrection in John 5:29, when all those in the grave shall be raised. Those who believe in the resurrection of life and those who do not believe in the resurrection of judgment. So there is a resurrection for unbelievers, but it is not called life. It is a resurrection of judgment. So there are only two kinds of humanity. When cut between the issue of ultimate hope, in a group like this, there are only two. Those who are in Adam, subject to death, no hope of the resurrection of life, and those who belong to Christ with such a hope. Again, going back to the Egyptians, their culture of preparing for death in the ancient world make them the best mummifiers in history. They believe that if they could preserve the body, that guarantees the afterlife of the soul. And so they were the best experts ever in the history of the world to mummify their corpses. And thousands upon thousands of mummies have been discovered, well preserved. But again, it only shows the illusion of hope. Kahit pa maingatan mo at ma-preserve yung katawan, if you are not in Christ, then there is no resurrection life. There is hope, however, but that hope is only in Christ in answer to the final problem of death. Those who belong to Christ are not promised that they will not die. Don't listen to false promises. Don't listen to those who will say, by faith, you need not get sick. Every time I walk around Cubao after office hours, I encounter these several meeting places of people who call themselves Christians, whose basic message is, you don't need to get sick, you don't need to suffer for as long as you are in Christ, and that is rubbish. That's not a promise to us. There is no promise that we will not get sick. There is no promise that we will not die. There is not even a promise that we will not die by crime or by terrible tragedy and sickness. The promise is this: in Christ, the ultimate result of sin, which is death, has been remedied. So in the face of death, we are looking at an evil because of sin. As I said, we rightly fear, we rightly avoid, we rightly remedy, but we should not be, in the language of Hebrews chapter 2, we should not be in the bondage of the fear of death. Because Christ has destroyed the power of death. Here is a truth so simple, that all humanity are just of two kinds, and yet so profound that it answers death. That death which mystifies many. Shakespeare in his Hamlet called death that undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns. It puzzles the will, he said. And thus conscience doth make cowards of us all. Yun ang punto niya, na yung hindi natin nalalaman sa kamatayan ang nagpapaduwag sa atin. Without Christ, you can try every way to push away the puzzle of death and you won't solve it. Others just try to be practical. They get insurance and they think that prepares them for death. Others just put the issue of death away from their minds. Try amusements. Surround yourself with noise. Whether the noise of entertainment, the noise in your computer, in your iPad. But try as you might to remove that from your thoughts. You try to relish the energy of your youth. God has ways of forcing you to stare on the ugly face of death. Whether in terms of experience of someone close to you dying, sickness, the approach of agedness, all this will remind you. Kahit natanggalin mo yan sa pag-iisip mo, haharap at haharapin mo pa rin. And the question is, have you stared on that issue with Christ as your answer? Without Christ as your answer, there is no hope. But with Christ, we can face death, grieve over it, and yet have our hope. Al Martin, the pastor once from New Jersey, has written a book very recently, the title, Grieving, Hope and Solace When a Loved One Dies in Christ. This is his book in memory of his wife who died of cancer. And there he shares the many tears he shed and the mourning that was difficult even for someone who he knew was a Christian and was in the company of the Lord. And yet he determined in that book that even in his grieving, he will grieve to the glory of God. And only the Christian can have such grieving even in the face of death that is to the glory of God. So have we faced the issue of death with Christ as our answer? If you have not, come to Christ now. Only he had answered death in all its darkness. He entered into it. He really died. But on the third day, he rose from that darkness. And with that, he has answered the problem of sin. He has answered the problem of death. And for the Christian, it matters no longer whether our life is long or short, but what matters is when we die in Christ. And I ask you, do you have that hope? Let us sing our last hymn, Whether I Die or Live. So, Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live. To love and serve you is my share, and this your grace must give. And there is that certain carefreeness as far as the Christian is concerned on the issue of death, because we have settled the issue of sin. We can face death while fearing it, while trying to remedy it, yet ultimately not in the bondage of the fear of death, because someone entered its precincts and exited again in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope in the face of death. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na tunay na kilalanin ang pagtuturong maliwanag na ibinigay dito ni Apostol Pablo tungkol sa sangkatauhan. Ang buong sangkatauhan ay nahati sa dalawang hanay lamang na kinakatawan, bawat hanay ng isang tao. Andun sa hanay ni Adan ang lahat ng tao, at bilang mga anak ni Adan, kinatawan siya ang kumatawan sa amin sa iyong pagsubok na kanyang pinalian nang siya'y mahulog sa kasalanan. At ito ang nagpapaliwanag ng pangkalahatan na nararanasang kamatayan. Death is universal because sin is universal. And sin is universal because we are all sons and daughters of Adam. And yet it is this principle of representation that alone gives hope. But grant us, Lord, to understand that the reality of death is explained by the reality of sin. And therefore, death is evil. Death is an enemy. We rightly grieve over death. We rightly fear the approach of death. And we rightly do everything to remedy death. And yet, the ultimate remedy is not in what science can achieve, not in what human wisdom can invent. The only remedy to death is the way of remedy to sin. And thus what we need is not a great scientist. What we need and what we have is the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was He who entered into death in all its darkness, was buried beneath death, and yet on the third day rose again. And that rising from the dead secures the life of everyone who belongs to Him, that one day we will share that life. That when He comes again, we will not simply extend the life that we now have, but we will have that new life that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious hope we have. And yet we pray that you may impress this message upon each one here who may yet belong to that mankind under Adam, and has not looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Open his mind. Make him be awakened to the reality of his situation, and that he may come to Christ. And we thank you that all those in Christ are promised his life. This is the life that we can be assured of. And that being the case, we can stare death in the face, in all its ugliness, and not be in bondage to the fear of death. So grant, Lord, that we may think of death in a manner that holds to Christ the ultimate answer and remedy. And we pray for those who probably would try to simply remove death from their thoughts, but no matter what they do, they don't solve its puzzle. We ask that you would have mercy upon them to bring them to Christ so that they may, like all believers, be able to stare death in the face and say that my Savior died and rose again. And thus, even if we die, we will live in Christ. May this be our hope, and may we spread such a hope to sinners who are all dying in Adam, that they may know that life in Christ. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.